We're going to look to the Lord again in prayer with the Word of God open at 2 Samuel chapter 6. Let us seek the face of the Lord, acknowledging that we need His help. And we need Him to open up the eyes of our heart to understand the things that are contained within. Let us bow in a word of prayer, please. Our eternal Heavenly Father, we do indeed thank Thee for all that has taken place already in this Thy house. Thank Thee for Thy presence that has been with us. And God, we thank Thee for Thy goodness and Thy grace. We thank Thee for Thy mercy. And God, even as we've been singing how we thank Thee for those mercy drops. But, O God, we long for the showers of blessing. We long for Thee to come and to open up the windows of heaven and to pour out Thy blessing upon us as Thy people, even as we gather here this morning. God, we thank Thee for Thy precious word. We thank Thee for the privilege we have to hold it in our hands. We thank Thee for the great privilege it is to be able to gather in such a fashion and to open up Thy precious truth and to seek to learn from the things of God. Oh, Father, we pray even now You'll open up the eyes of our heart. You'll give us that understanding, give us that willingness, that readiness to receive a word from Thee. Remove all hindrances, all obstacles that would be placed in front of us to hinder us from receiving Thy truth. And, O God, we pray Thy word will go forth in all its fullness and in the power of the Holy Spirit. Write it upon every heart, we plead. Give help now as I would open up Thy precious truth. And Father, we pray for help from on high. Endue me with power. Give wisdom and help to proclaim Thy precious word. And we'll be careful to give Thee all the honor and all the glory that's in our Saviour's name, and for His sake we pray. Amen. Amen. The events that we have recorded for us here in this portion of Scripture in 2 Samuel chapter 6, they serve both as a warning and indeed as an encouragement. Recorded here for us are the historical events that surround the transportation of the Ark of the Covenant by David to Jerusalem. And if you remember, the ark, it had been stolen by the Philistines. We read that in 1 Samuel chapter 4. And we must remember the great importance that the ark of God was to the children of Israel. Really, the ark was the centerpiece of their worship of their God. The ark, it was to reside in the Holy of Holies, in the tabernacle. It was the very place that Jehovah Himself said that He would manifest His presence. The mercy seat on top of the ark was the place where the blood of atonement was poured out once a year by the high priest. The ark itself contained those tablets upon which the Ten Commandments were written, and therefore it is known as the Ark of the Covenant. And of course there was that manna contained within the ark as well. And so the Ark of the Covenant, it was a very important item of worship. It was a very important item in the life and in the worship of the children of Israel. And this Ark of the Covenant, as we read of it, right throughout the Old Testament, it pictures the presence of the Lord. It is a picture of God's presence Himself. And we must bear that in mind when we read these events here in 2 Samuel chapter 6. You see, God's servant David, he desired more than anything else to have the presence of the Lord dwell among the children of Israel. He longed to have God's presence in the midst of His people. When the ark had been stolen, it was said that the glory is departed from Israel. Why? For the ark of God is taken. And David wanted the glory of the Lord to return. He wanted the presence of God to dwell again amongst His people. And this morning, surely that ought to be the desire of every child of God. Surely we long for the presence of the Lord. Surely it is our heart's desire, the desire of every child of God, to know and to experience the presence of God with us, both in our homes and indeed in His church. For when we're living in the presence of the Lord, that is when we're truly blessed. And we were singing for the showers of blessing. How we need the showers of blessing. Well, the showers of blessing are found when we're dwelling in the presence of Almighty God. And so what David was doing here was very commendable. He saw the importance of the presence of the Lord. He noted the importance of the ark. And so he attempted to bring it back here to Jerusalem. And we see that importance. But there's a warning here, because David went about the transportation of the ark in the wrong manner. In fact, he went against the will of God. He went against his ordained means and method for the transportation of the ark. We read there in 2 Samuel 6 and the verse 3. And they set the ark of God upon a new cart and brought it out of the house of Abinadab that was in Gibeah. And Uzzah and Ahio, the sons of Abinadab, drave the new cart. And here David and his men, they put the ark of God upon a cart. And that was their means and method of transporting it. And perhaps at first glance we might miss the significance of that. But we're taught in Exodus 25 in the verses 14 and 15 how God ordained his ark to be moved. And it wasn't in the manner here that David and his men were transporting it. For we read, "And thou shalt put the staves into the rings by the side of the ark, that the ark may be borne with them." And the ark was to be carried. God ordained that the ark was to be carried. And yet we have David and his men here going against the will of the Lord. And they begin to drive the cart, or the ark upon the cart. And believer, there's a lesson here in passing for us. You see, if we want to experience the presence of the Lord, if we want to experience his blessing in these days and in this age, well then we need to worship him in his appointed way. We need to go about it in the way in which he has ordained it to be. And if we deviate that from it, well then there's consequences. For we read down through 2 Samuel 6 that Uzzah, he touched the ark of God, and such an action was forbidden. And in verse 7 there we read that God smote him, and he died there by the side of the ark. And what a warning there is for the children of God. But there's also an encouragement here. And it's this encouragement that we want to focus on for the remaining moments this morning. And we want to look at verses 11 and 12 of 2 Samuel chapter 6. And it says there, "And the ark of the Lord continued in the house of Obed-Edom the Gittite 3 months. And the Lord blessed Obed-Edom and all his household. And it was told King David, saying, The Lord hath blessed the house of Obed-Edom and all that pertaineth unto him because of the ark of God." And here the ark of God, remember, is that picture of the presence of God. It enters here into the house of Obed-Edom. And oh, that that might be said of us this morning, that the presence of the Lord would enter into our homes. That the presence of the Lord would enter into this, his house. And as a result, we will experience the blessing of the Lord upon us. So we want to look this morning at the presence of God in our homes. The presence of God in our homes. And we notice firstly here the importance of the presence of God in our homes. You see, there's a vital importance here. Look at verse 11. It says, "And the ark of the Lord continued in the house of Obed-Edom the Gittite 3 months." And child of God, that ought to be our desire this morning, to have the presence of the Lord dwell in our homes and amongst our families. To have the presence of the Lord dwell in this, his house, his church, amongst his people. In Exodus 33, the Lord said unto Moses, "My presence shall go with thee, and I will give thee rest." But Moses responded by saying, "If thy presence go not with me, carry us not up hence." And oh, that that would be our cry today, that the Lord would not carry us up to that place where his presence does not dwell himself, but that we would know the experience of what it is to live in the presence of the Lord. As we know, this world in which we live is a very wicked world. We live in dark and wicked days, and society seems to be degenerating day after day after day. And there's no time for the things of God. There's no time for the things of Scripture. And oh, how we need more than ever, as this man Obed-Edom experienced, the presence of God dwelling amongst us. Every Christian father, every Christian husband and wife Every father, every mother, that should be our desire, you see, above our own ambitions, above our own gains, above our own desires, surely we ought to desire the presence of the Lord dwelling amongst us. The story is told of a wealthy man, and he purchased at a very high price a picture, a painting of the Lord Jesus Christ. It was a very famous painting, and he sought with great difficulty to find a place to hang that painting in his home. And he struggled and he tried day after day, and he could not find that perfect place to fit that picture up into his house. And so he called in an architect. He must have been a very wealthy man. And that architect came in and he examined the house and he turned round in his wisdom and he said to the man, "You cannot fit this picture into your home, but you must make a home to fit the picture." And you know how true that is for the child of God. You see, we mustn't just slot the presence of God in. We mustn't just fit Christ in here or there, or wherever we can fit him in our busy lives. Not just give him time on the Lord's day, or perhaps when others are visiting our home, but rather we're to build our homes and our lives around the presence of God. He is to be the centerpiece of our homes. He's to be the very central piece of our lives. We ought to be constantly striving to dwell in the very midst of the presence of God. And what a challenge that is to our hearts this morning. And I wonder, is that the case with my home? Is that the case with your home? Are we just perhaps fitting God in where we can? Are we just making room for him whenever it's convenient for us? Or are we building our homes and our lives, and indeed his church, around the presence of God himself? And I tell you this morning, a home in which the presence of God dwells is a very different home indeed. It's a home that is a blessed home. A home that experiences the blessing and the hand of God upon it. And we ought to strive to have homes where the presence of God is welcomed and encouraged. But how do we go about experiencing the presence of God? How do we live in that experience of knowing the presence of God? Here, Obed-Edom, the ark of the Lord was brought in to his home and it remained with him for 3 months. But how do we go about experiencing this presence of God? Well, turn with me, please, to John chapter 14 and the verse 21. John chapter 14 and the verse 21. And here we really get an answer to that question. How do we know the presence of the Lord? How do we invite the presence of the Lord to dwell in our homes and in his church? Well, John chapter 14 and the verse 21. The words of Christ, and he says, He that hath my commandments and keepeth them, he it is that loveth me. And he that loveth me shall be loved of my Father, and I will love him, and will manifest myself to him. And here's the promise of the Savior himself. And what's he saying? Well, he's saying in simplicity here that obedience to him, living in accordance to his will and to his word, it will lead to the experience of the presence and the blessing of God. And if we want to know the presence of God in our lives, if we want to know his blessing, if we want to know what it is to dwell with him in the midst, well then, here is how we do it. We ought to be living as we should as Christians. We ought to be living as God has ordained. Remember, when this ark was being transported, the children of Israel went about it in the wrong way. They didn't do it in God's ordained means. But we ought to live as God has set forth in his word. And that means that as Christian fathers, we ought to establish the family altar to make sure worship is the center of our homes. As Christian husbands, we should set aside our time with our wives in order to read and to pray. As Christian wives, we ought to be nurturing children in the things of God. As Christian sons and daughters, we ought to be honoring our fathers and our mothers. We ought to be living in accordance to Scripture. You see, everything we do, everything we say, the way in which we live and talk, should have at its very center Christ as the motivation. It should be done in accordance with his precious word, and only then will we know the presence of the Lord. Only then will we know the blessing of God upon our homes. You see, what greater home can be provided than that which has the presence of God in the midst? A home in which the word of God is opened. A home in which a family prays together. What a tremendous thing it is to have a family who is living in accordance to the word of God. And I tell you that a family such as that is living in the experience of the presence of God. They're living in the experience of the presence of God. A family that is on their knees is a family that's living in the midst of God's presence. And I wonder this morning, can that be said about our homes? Do we invite the presence of the Lord into our homes? Do we encourage the presence of the Lord to dwell among us? Or perhaps are we a hindrance? Are we a hindrance to his presence? Or are we inviting him in? Are we encouraging him to be amongst our families and amongst indeed his church? Oh, that would be the case, that we would be living in such a way that the presence of God would be with us. Notice in 2 Samuel chapter 6 and the verse 11 there, notice that word continued. Continued. You see, this ark of God that represented the presence of God, it didn't just come and go into the house of Obed-Edom, but it was a continual presence. It was something that remained here in this household. And likewise, as we build our homes around the presence of God, we ought to be constantly encouraging God to dwell among us. Not just on the Lord's Day, not just when we have visitors, not just when things are seen, but also at times unseen. How we ought to be dwelling in the presence of God. There's a warning for us, of course, in the life of Samson in Judges 16. The verse 20, we read those words, and he awoke out of his sleep and said, I will go out as at other times before and shake myself. And he wist not that the Lord was departed from him. Samson wist not that the Lord had departed from him. Oh, what a solemn thing this was. You see, Samson, because of his sin, because of his lifestyle, the presence of the Lord departed from him. What a serious thing that was. Here was Samson, and he got up. And he was going to go on in the strength of God as he had done countless times before. But then he realized, oh, that the presence of God had departed from him. Oh, that we would avoid such a scenario in our homes. That we would avoid such a thing that we would have to say that the presence of the Lord has departed. Or even in our church, oh, that it would not be said that something that we have done has caused the presence of the Lord to depart from his people. Oh, it reminds us to invite the presence of God into our homes. An absence of the things that grieve the Lord and those things that would grieve him. The hymn writer penned the words of that great hymn, O give us homes built firm upon the Savior, where Christ is head and counselor and guide, where every child is taught his love and favor, and gives its heart to the Christ the crucified. How sweet to know that though its footsteps waver, the faithful Lord is walking by its side. And believers, of the utmost importance that we know the presence of God, and that he remains with us as we seek to live for him. And dear unbeliever, if you're here this morning, there's a lesson for you. For you, in a most real way, need the presence of the Lord in your life. You see, as a result of sin, you've been cut off from God. You cannot enjoy that fellowship. You know nothing of what it is to be living in the presence of God, and your sin has cut you off from him, and one day it will eternally cut you off from the very presence of God. And the only way that you can be reconciled, the only way that you can know the presence of God, the only way that you can enjoy that communion and that fellowship with him is by repenting of your sin and coming to Christ. Christ is the one mediator between God and man. And it's Christ and Christ alone that can bring you into that fellowship and into that communion with God. And so you must come to him. So here we have the importance of the presence of the Lord in our homes. But secondly, we notice here the blessing that flows from having the presence of God in our homes. Look at verse 11 again of 2 Samuel chapter 6. It says, and the ark of the Lord continued in the house of Obed-Edom the Gittite 3 months. And the Lord blessed Obed-Edom and all his household. Now at this point in the narrative, we're not told anything really about this man, Obed-Edom. We're not told anything really about his household. We're only told there that he was a Gittite. We're not told his circumstances regarding material things. We're not told his circumstances about what he does for a living at this point in Scripture. But what we are told is that as a result of having the ark of God, as a result of this ark dwelling in his home, what happened? Well, the Lord blessed him and all his household. Here was the result of the ark of God in his home. Here's the result of the presence of God dwelling and remaining in our homes. What is it? It's that the blessing of the Lord would fall. That we would experience the blessing of the Lord. One commentator speaking on this verse, he said that the presence of the Lord in our lives and in our homes is a limitless source of divine blessing. The blessing will depend upon our servant attitude to that presence. If we take the place of a true servant, surrendering ourselves to his sway, the Lord will make our way prosperous. If in all things we give Christ the preeminence, so far from being the losers thereby, we shall be immeasurably the gainers both now and hereafter. And believer, we will be so much more the richer if we are dwelling in the presence of God. And we're not talking about material things. Yes, the Lord chooses to bless some with material things, and that is good. But we're not talking about those material things here, but we're talking about those spiritual blessings. And if we're dwelling in the presence of the Lord, oh, the experience of the spiritual blessings that we will enjoy. Christ reminds us to seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. And of course, we could apply that to our salvation, for if we leave behind our sin and the things of the world and we seek the righteousness of Christ, well then, all these spiritual blessings will be added unto us. But we could apply it to believers this morning as well. And you see, if we want to experience the blessing of God, if we want to experience spiritual blessings, well then, we ought to seek first the kingdom of God. We ought to put Christ at the very center. We ought to look to him, to be living lives which are pleasing and holy unto him. And only then will we know the true blessing and experience the presence of God in our lives. It's recorded for us in 1 Samuel 2. The verse 30, for them that honor me, I will honor. And believer, if we honor the Lord this morning, the Lord will honor his people. If we honor him by living holy lives, sacrificing the things of the world and the things of self, placing Christ at the very center of our homes and our lives and our church. If we honor God in that way, well then he has promised that he will honor us. And that's not only true in our individual lives, but indeed as a church family as well. And who doesn't want the work of the Lord to go forward? Who doesn't want the honor of the Lord to be placed upon his work? Who doesn't want the work of the Lord to continue in the presence of God? And here's the promise of God. If we honor him, he will honor us. If we seek to live for him in his way, he will manifest his presence to us. I wonder, is that our experience this morning? Are we living in the very center of the will of God? Do we know what it is to experience the presence of God in our lives? Do we know what it is to encourage and to invite the presence of God to dwell with us? For if we do, we will be experiencing those spiritual blessings of God. We will know what it is to be blessed by God and through God. Here in this man, his household, Obed-Edom, as a result of having the ark of the Lord in his house, the Lord blessed him and all his household. He received the blessing of the Lord. He received the blessing of the Lord. And if we dwell in the presence of God, friends, we will know the blessing of the Lord upon our lives. Think of the words of Psalm 1. Well-known words. Blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful, but his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law doth he meditate day and night. But listen to this. And he shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water, that bringeth forth his fruit in his season. His leaf also shall not wither, and whatsoever he doeth shall prosper. And here's the promise of the blessing of the Lord upon the one who lives his life for God. Think of the picture employed there. Here's this tree, and it's planted beside that water supply, planted beside the river, and it's flourishing, and it's full, and it's bringing forth much fruit, and it's prospering, and its leaf is not withering. And oh, the blessing of the Lord upon his people if they serve him and they live for him. And if we are in the presence of the Lord, well then, we will be like that tree planted beside those rivers. We will bear forth fruit. We will know abundant blessing from heaven, not necessarily in material things, but most certainly in spiritual things. And we will know what it is to be blessed of the Lord. And the ark of the Lord continued in the house of Obed-Edom, the Gittite, 3 months, and the Lord blessed Obed-Edom and all his household. We have the importance of the presence of God, the blessing that flows from the presence of God. But finally, this morning, we see the testimony that comes from having the presence of God in our homes. Look at verse 12 there, 2 Samuel chapter 6. It says, and it was told King David, saying, the Lord hath blessed the house of Obed-Edom and all that pertaineth unto him because of the ark of God. He here, because of the blessing that Obed-Edom received. Such was the greatness of this blessing. Such was the result of having the presence of God in his home. What happened? News of the blessing reached the courts of the king. It could not escape the notice and the observation of those around him, and until eventually the testimony of the blessing of God had reached the very king himself. And if we want our lives and our homes, indeed this church, to be a testimony of God's blessing and God's presence, well then we need to be living in the very presence of God himself. That's what happened to Obed-Edom. He honored the Lord. The presence came into his home. The Lord poured out blessing abundantly upon him, and it raised a testimony. Men and women had to stop and take notice. They noticed that the Lord was blessing this man and his household. We're not told specifically what the blessing was or how it affected Obed-Edom and his house, but we do know that it was significant, because it says there that it stretched to all that pertaineth unto him. This blessing of the Lord, it touched every part of his life, touched every part of his household. It was an all-encompassing blessing. It was a full blessing. It was a rich blessing. It was a blessing beyond comprehension, and it caused those around him to take notice and to pay attention. And believer, when our homes are visited with the presence of the Lord, when his church is visited with the presence of the Lord, people have to stop and take notice. They have to say, surely the Lord their God is with them. Surely the Lord their God is blessing them. Surely they are dwelling in his presence. And oh, that would be our testimony, both in our homes and indeed in his church, that people would have to stop and take notice. They would see the blessing of the Lord upon us. They would know we dwell the very presence of our God and our Savior. Oh, that the Lord would be so pleased to pour out his blessing upon his work. He would be so pleased to pour out his blessing upon his people. And this is what we need. We need it in our lives. We need it in our homes. We need it in our churches. We need to say, as Joshua this morning, but as for me, my house, we will serve the Lord. We need to invite the presence of God to dwell with us. We need to live those lives which are holy lives, spent searching the scripture and seeking his face in prayer, inviting the presence of God to dwell among us, and then we will know the blessing of the Lord poured out upon us and upon his work. And remember this morning, dear unbeliever, that you too need the presence of the Lord in your soul. More than anything else, you need that special saving work of God wrought in your heart. More than anything else today, you need to know in a very real sense the presence of the Lord with you. But that comes, as we said already, through Christ and Christ alone. That one who shed his blood as a ransom for sin. The one who paid the price, that one that took the place of sinners, so that we might be reconciled to the Heavenly Father. Oh, that it would be the case in our lives and in our homes today, that we would know the presence of the Lord, and that His blessing would be poured out upon us both now and in the days that lie ahead. May the Lord bless His word to our hearts this morning. Perhaps